We're going to look at one of the names or titles of Jesus, which is an unusual one. He's called the Branch, the Branch. So I want to look at several scriptures which highlight this. So if you look to begin with, please go to the book of the prophet Isaiah and look at Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Isaiah 4 and verse 2. Here you'll find that there's a description of the one who is called the Branch. Isaiah 4 verse 2, which I will read. Isaiah 4 verse 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. I won't concentrate on the rest of the verse, just look at the first part. In that day, in that special time, the branch of the Lord, and that relates, of course, to the salvation of the remnant of Israel. So this is the Lord Jesus, who's called the Branch. And the branch in the scriptures suggests the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at four things, and amazingly enough, it relates to the four Gospels. So when you think about Jesus, the Son of God, that is particularly emphasized in John's Gospel. John's Gospel emphasizes the branch as the one and only Son of God. I will expand that a bit further and find why I use branch in a while. Now, would you go on after Isaiah to Jeremiah? Jeremiah 23. Two verses here in Jeremiah 23. And look at verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. And we see clearly that the branch is the Lord. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, which I'll read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. That can only be a person, can't it? A king shall reign and prosper and exercise judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. So clearly we know who that is. But he's called in verse 5, the branch of righteousness. And he will be a son of David. You see that in verse 5 as well. The branch, raised from David's family line, he's a king, and he shall come and reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's his second coming, when he sets up the millennium and judges the nations. And you see in verse 6, both Judah and Israel, one nation, will be safe in that time. And he is called the Lord our righteousness. Now clearly then, the Lord Jesus is the branch. An unusual title, it's quite true. Now would you go on to, in Jeremiah, chapter 33. Chapter 33, if you will, and go to verses 15 and 16. Very similar. Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. In those days, and at that time, I was raised to grow up to David, very similar, you see, a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth, same ideas. In those days, when they come, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. So he's going to be their king. And this is the name by which she will be called. Now that's Jerusalem. She, giving a feminine aspect, Jerusalem, she will be called the Lord our righteousness. Now how can Jews can be called the Lord our righteousness, because the Lord Jesus is so linked up with Jerusalem at the second coming, setting up the millennium, that it should be so identified, Jerusalem, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King who's going to reign in righteousness in Jerusalem. Judah, Israel, Jerusalem, all safe at that particular time when he comes. And you can see in verse 17, for thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. So there he is, Jesus, son of David, in his time when he comes, he's going to reign from Jerusalem. So here, very clearly, we have the branch. And obviously, he is the Son of God. Now, we're going to look at four things, four Gospels. In this first one, where he is clearly the Son, the Lord, our righteousness, Jesus is the Son of God, which is John's Gospel. And we see that each aspect of the branch is hinted at in the four Gospels. First of all, we've seen John. And then we see Matthew. Why Matthew? Because Matthew is particularly the gospel for the Jewish people, because he mentions so much of the Old Testament scriptures in Matthew. No good writing that to the Gentiles, they wouldn't know the Old Testament. But the Jewish people should know the Old Testament, they should. And so he quotes much of the Old Testament references in the Gospel of Matthew. So Matthew particularly relates Jesus as the Messiah and the coming king, the branch. And he is called Son of David. That means he's going to inherit David's throne. Therefore, he's going to be a king. He's going to exercise sovereignty over Jerusalem and the nations in his reign and rule for the millennium. So we've got John's Gospel showing him as the Son of God. John's Gospel particularly focuses on the sonship of Jesus. And here in Jeremiah 23 and chapter 33, you've got the picture here of Jesus, the Son of David. That's going to be his sovereignty as king of the Israel. And that particularly is emphasized in Matthew's Gospel. There's two Gospels, John and Matthew mentioned. Now we go on to Mark's Gospel. Well, that's where we're going to get to. We do find here where God's servant is the branch. So if you please go to Zechariah, last book but one of the Old Testament prophets, of course. Zechariah, chapter 3. And verse 8. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Let you find it. Zechariah 3 verse 8. Now here in prophecy, the prophet writes concerning Joshua, but more than Joshua, because we're going to see that he is relating to one who is a priest or high priest and a king. Now high priests were never kings. And kings will never become high priests. But here is one prophesy who is both high priest and king. Well, that can only be Jesus, can't it? So Zechariah 3, look in verse 8 with me, please. And 9. Zechariah 3, 8 and 9. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. So he's a person. We know it's Jesus. So what he says, I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone. Now he's called a stone. Well, we know that, don't we? He's a foundation stone. For behold, the stone, verse 9, that I've laid before Joshua. Upon the stone are seven eyes, so we know the stone is Jesus, with his all-seeing, all-knowledge. Upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Focus on Israel. That's a wonderful verse, you know. When the Lord comes, He's going to forgive and cleanse a remnant of the nation of Israel. They'll be his subjects. He'll be their king. Only the Lord can do that. Now look, please. Well, that was chapter 3 and in verse 8. Now, I want you to go back to Isaiah. We're dashing around the scriptures, aren't we? It's a good thing to do. In Isaiah, please, chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Now here, Isaiah 42 and verse 1. Verse 1, Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant. This is as if the Father is speaking about his Son, who is the servant of the Father. He's come to serve the Father. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold. My elect one. Well, that's, of course, that's Jesus, the Son. My elect one, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. So we know it's Jesus. I will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. So here we have, he is called the servant. We find in Isaiah 4, he's called, well, we know it refers to Jesus, the Son of God. In Jeremiah, in his sovereignty, we know he is king. As in Matthew's gospel. The third gospel we have here, in Isaiah 42, verse 1, he is called the servant. Now, the Gospel of Mark is particularly illustrating the servant nature of Jesus, coming to serve the Father and to bring salvation to us. So here is, he is the servant of God. Now, if you go to chapter 52 in Isaiah, you know, it's coming up, but look in chapter 53 as well. In chapter 52, if you go to verse 13, leading into chapter 53, chapter 52 and verse 13, behold, my servant shall do prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. So that can only be Jesus. Can't be anybody else. Can only be Jesus. Let me just cross something out there. Good. That's it. So he's the branch who is the servant. Now just go into the next chapter, 53, which is one you know well. Chapter 53, and look at verse 11. Chapter 53, verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He goes to death for our sins. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Of course, that's what he came to do, bring salvation and justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Of course he did. Chapter 53 is about Jesus on the cross, isn't it? So we have here one who is called the righteous servant. So you find Jesus is the Son of God. In Matthew, he's the sovereign God. And here we have in Isaiah and Zechariah, he is called the righteous servant. And Mark's gospel particularly highlights the servant nature of Jesus. The next man, well, that's where Jesus is called Son of Man. So let's go once again, please, if we can, to Zechariah. We're dashing about a bit. Zechariah 6. We were nearly there before. Zechariah chapter 6. Let's get to it myself. Zechariah chapter 6, that's the one. And we want verse 12. Zechariah 6. And verse 12. Speak to him. Don't worry about who that is. Joshua, actually, Joshua, verse 13. Verse 10, verse 11. Joshua, high priest. Verse 12. Thou speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out. Now there you have it. He is called the branch because he will branch out to bring salvation to the whole of humanity. He is the branch to branch out to bring the salvation to humanity when he comes. His name is the branch. He shall branch out and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Well, I won't go into that. There's two meanings there. One is that, of course, he will build the temple of the church, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also build the millennial temple when he comes again. There's a double meaning there. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne, verse 13. So he's a high priest and he's a king. Only one person fits that, Jesus. Only one person could ever be a king and a high priest. In the Old Testament, there are the kings or there were high priests. Never the same. Here is one who is both high priest. We know that from the New Testament for us. He's our high priest. And also he's a king. That can only point to Jesus. The branch is a king, a servant. And that's who he is. The righteous servant of the Lord. And he's called here in verse 13. He shall be priest on his throne. There it is, priest on the throne. Priest, king. Oh, that can only be Jesus, can't it? So he's called the branch, and he will branch out in the world to bring salvation worldwide to sinners. We know that. That's very true. So would you just now expand this a bit in chapter 6 of Zechariah? Let's start from verse 11 and go through to 15. Bit more. Chapter 6, again, verse 11, I'll read through to 15. And speak to him, that's Joshua. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is a branch, from his place he shall branch out. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, verse 13, and the council of peace shall be between them both, as between his priesthood and his kingly nature. Carry on, verse 14. Now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple of the Lord, for then you've got all these names. And verse 15, even those who are far away shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. This shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord God Almighty. There you have it. So here is the Lord Jesus. We know him here as the Son of Man, one who is the Savior. Very important. Son of Man. Now, if you do something unusual, let's go to John's Gospel. Now, here's something I think some people make a mistake on. Would you go to John 19, please? John chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19. And this is very interesting. John 19. And look at verse 5. Well, this is unusual to look at this at the moment, isn't it, from the Old Testament. But John 19, verse 5. Jesus had been mocked by the soldiers and he'd been sent to Pilate. Verse 5, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe which the soldiers had put on him. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. Now, would you notice, do you have it in your Bible? I have it in my New King James. The word Pilate is in italics. Have you got that there? Because it's not in the text. They've written it in to try and make sense, but they got it wrong. So let's miss out Pilate and see who was speaking. Verse 5 again. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe and said to them, behold the man. That's Jesus saying, I am the man. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Savior. Jesus is using these words, not Pilate. Pilate shouldn't be there. It puts focus on the wrong person. Let's look at it again. Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe and said to them, behold the man. Now that is a very special term, behold the man. He is the Son of Man, one of the Old Testament terms. Jesus used it himself in the Gospels. So we have collectively now the one who's called the branch. Let's just summarize this bit. He's called the Son. John's Gospel portrays Jesus as the Son of God. He's also called Son of David, Sovereign. Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel of the King of the Jews. He's called a righteous servant. Mark's Gospel shows Jesus as a righteous servant coming to serve humanity. And the man whose name is the branch, behold the man, Jesus himself, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, the Savior. So he's the Son, he's a sovereign, he's a servant, and he's a Savior. All beginning with S. So five times we've seen the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is called the branch. He's called the Son. He's of the root and family of Jesse. He's the offspring of Jesse. He's the stem. He's the sprout. He's the shoot. He's the root. And all this is reference to David and the Son of David. That's Jesus himself. I'm spreading all this out, isn't it? Now, we were, of course, just now, we were in Zechariah. So would you go back to Zechariah, if you will, please? Time is rushing on, I know. Zechariah, and go to chapter 3. Zechariah, chapter 3 again. They find it. In Zechariah, chapter 3, look in verse 8. Once again. Zechariah again, chapter 3 again, verse 8 again. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign for someone else. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch, and he's the stone. Upon the stone are seven eyes, foundation stone, the all-seeing eyes, can only be the Son of God, can't it? So we have here the servant, the branch, and in chapter 6, when we looked at it, he's also called the ruler and the high priest. Only Jesus can be ruler and high priest. Now, look in verse 9, coming towards an end. In chapter 3, verse 9, you see there, for behold the stone, that's Jesus' foundation, that I've laid before Joshua, high priest. Upon the stone are seven eyes. I will engrave his inscription, saying, the Lord, I will remove the iniquity of Israel in one day. We'll do that, of course. Upon the stone are seven eyes. What's so specific about that? Well, I'd like to look in three places. Let's take all in order. Would you go to Genesis, please? Would you go to Genesis 49? Genesis 49, rushing through a bit, won't take too long. Genesis 49, and I see someone here who is called the stone in verse 24. Genesis 49, verse 24. At the end of the verse, you've got, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. He's the stone of Israel. Right back in Genesis 49. Now, would you go to a Psalm 118? Trying to rush it through. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 26. If I got the right verse. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has given us life. I haven't got the right verse. Oh, verse 22. Sorry, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected. Well, the builders were Israel. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the stone. So this stone, person of the Messiah, has seven eyes, which is almighty, seeing everything as God. He sees everything perfectly. That means he's got perfect sight. Not that humanity is perfect, doesn't mean that. Messiah is called the precious cornerstone in the scriptures. And that is quite remarkable. If you just finally just go back to Zechariah once again in that same chapter 3, dashing about, coming to an end. Zechariah 3 and verse 10. What do we read about this person? In chapter 3 of Zechariah, in verse 10, in that day, when the Lord comes, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. That means it's a picture of perfect peace and rest. When Jesus returns to reign in the millennium, he will come and all will be peace, because he's a Prince of Peace, bringing his peace into Jerusalem, the city of peace, and there will be millennial peace. That's important. So he's the stone. He's a righteous servant, the branch. He has all seeing, seven eyes. And you'll find here, he is going to bring peace in the millennium. A day of peace when it comes. So this is rather remarkable. And it's mainly in the book of Zechariah. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. In chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. We didn't have time to look at it all. But there's a time coming when Jesus, who is the branch and the stone, is coming back to this earth to reign as King of the Jews. And he's going to rule the nations. And he's going to bring millennial peace in the city of peace, Jerusalem, and there will be peace. So we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the stone. He's the branch. And that's the important thing. He's the branch. He's pictured in John's gospel as the son who is the branch. Matthew's gospel, the sovereign king, the branch. And in Mark's gospel, he's the servant branch, coming to serve and save. And in John's gospel, he is the Son of Man, the Savior, and Son of God. He is the branch. In all four gospels, linking with the four Old Testament, many scriptures, he is the branch. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. And he's the branch. And it says he will branch out. He came to serve and to save, and to branch out with the gospel, as we are today, get the gospel, go into all nations and preach the gospel. He's going to branch out with the gospel. He's coming back to reign. He's the servant, the branch. He's the stone. He's Almighty God. He sees all things, seven eyes, perfection. And praise the Lord, he's going to bring peace. He's the Son who will bring peace. The sovereign who brings peace, the righteous servant who brings peace, the Son of Man, the Savior, to bring peace on his return. Displayed as the branch in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Zechariah, and in John 19, behold the man, the branch. Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, Savior, Servant, and Sovereign. He is the branch, and he's called the branch of righteousness in Jeremiah 23 and 33. What a wonderful picture this is of the stone. He's the stone, not cut out without hand, not cut out with hands, but he's the eternal Son. So think of him as the branch of God, the ruler, the servant to bring salvation, the coming king, our high priest. He's king and high priest. He is the branch pictured throughout the Old Testament and some of the parts of the New Testament Gospels as well. Wonderful picture of him as Son, Sovereign, Servant, and Savior. Hallelujah. This is the one who is the branch, and he will branch out to save. He will branch out to rule when he comes again. Thank you.